innercitygeeks.net. What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Inner City Geeks podcast. And this is a bonus round. And joining me today, I got Renee.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Dude, it's good to have you back, man. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been more than 6 months, right? Because I stopped recording in January.
Yeah. So the reason for this bonus round that we have here today is because this week we get the final episode, or that we know of so far, of Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's the last episode. And this season has been an insanely good season. So we figured, why not talk about it? Because there's a lot of possibilities of what could possibly come out of the show. What do you think of the show so far?
I was really kind of blown away and shocked at how much I like the show and how good it is. It exceeded expectations for me personally, especially after the disappointment of Boba Fett. Was I on for Boba Fett? Like all of it? I don't even remember.
No, I think like one or two.
Okay. So really quick with Boba Fett, as much as I love everything Star Wars and what Disney's been doing, I thought it was a really disappointing show for the fact that, like, the characterization of Boba Fett in it was really different, and it was a really, like, Disney cuddly version of Boba Fett. And I'm not a big fan of what they did in the prequels of Boba Fett, and I'm not a fan of the whole clones thing. I think it was really stupid. And, again, I don't have Temuera Morrison's, like, giant testicle head on my arm. Like, you know, it was just a lot of stuff in the show that I'm not harshing on him. I'm not shitting on the guy. I think he's a good actor. I think what he's doing for Star Wars is great. I think what's come out of, like, the whole prequel shenanigans and, like, him being back in Star Wars again, I think it's great. I think it's fun. But personally, I think the whole, you know, using him as Boba Fett and, like, all this stuff, I think is kind of stupid. That being said, the Boba Fett show started out really weak and it ended really well. It felt like two really different shows. It felt like, because what's his name, Rodriguez, who did Spy Kids, it felt like he did most of the show. He produced it. So what is it? I forgot his name.
Robert Rodriguez,
right? Mm-hmm. Like, his stuff is very problematic. It's very like Spy Kids now, and it showed really harshly in a lot of the bad stuff from Boba Fett. And then the second half of the season felt like a sequel to The Mandalorian's last season.
Yeah.
And that was like way better than the first half. Like, you know, like the last three episodes that had the Mandalorian characters and had Grogu and had Luke. They were way better than the first three. And it was just like, why didn't they do the whole show as good?
Why didn't they just start it that way and give us a whole like prequel to the essentially what happened at the end towards the show?
Or at least like have the Mandalorian there from the beginning. You know what I mean? Like it was just and I know what they did with Boba Fett to kind of set the first three episodes to separate him from the whole Mandalorian thing. But then, you know, blah, 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 they bring him in. And it just felt really uneven, right? And it wasn't the Boba Fett that, like, a lot of us wanted to see. And again, I understand that that's not going to happen. Like, a lot of people have this, like, they want Boba Fett to be, like, the Punisher of Star Wars. And that's just not how Star Wars works.
Yeah, no, that's not how
it works.
Especially the Disney version of it now.
Yeah, I mean, even though we're going to talk about some of the stuff in Obi-Wan, because they've really pushed it in Obi-Wan. But, yeah, like, with the Disney version of Boba Fett, like, you can't have that kind of thing. And which is the Boba Fett that we had before all the Disney stuff, like the comic books, especially the Dark Horse comic books, a lot of the Expanded Universe novels, which all of us fucking read before at Disney and before before the good times of the Empire. Like, you know, like, we had nothing in the 90s, so, like, that's what we read. Like, in the 90s and early 2000s, we read the Expanded Universe stuff, and they had, like, these, like, 20, 30 books about, like, Boba Fett and Bounty Hunter. And, you know, you can still read that shit. You can fucking make your own, you know, Boba Fett, Bounty Hunter. You can fucking play him in Fortnite, whatever the fuck you want to do. But it's just the show just wasn't, it just didn't do it for us. It didn't do it for me personally. I apologize, but I don't remember what the geeks thought of the ending. I just, you know, like Boba Fett was really disappointing. Cut to the announcement last year that we were going to get Obi-Wan. Was it last year? Wow, yeah, it was 2020. That Disney thing they had in 2020. When they said they were going to bring back Obi-Wan and then last year, Star Wars Celebration. The show, I wasn't expecting much. Like, I knew it was going to be good because Ewan McGregor's always in good stuff. Like, he hasn't made bad stuff in a really long time.
Right.
He's had a career after and before the prequels, you know? So I was kind
of
like...
He's one of the few that actually had a career since the...
Yeah.
Since the Clone Wars. You haven't really seen a lot of people since the prequels.
Like, him and Portman had careers before
right.
the prequels. So I think they were kind of like on like more steady ground.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Reva's the first Padawan to show.
Yeah.
I just put it back on. All right, so yeah, like Obi-Wan and Padme, I'm blanking on her fucking name. Natalie Portman and McGregor had like, you know, big careers before the Star Wars movies, and they've had big careers since. And I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that they came from like stable families and stable fucking like, you know, Hollywood families. Mm-hmm. And then the other people were all new and stuff. So like, yeah, like it kind of, there's a lot more to it than just the Star Wars, the prequels suck, you know, like there's more to it than that.
Yeah.
But yeah, cut to the Obi-Wan stuff and they were talking about it and they were like, yeah, like, you know, we're going to bring back Obi-Wan. We're going to bring back Anakin, you know, we're going to bring back Jar Jar. No, I'm just kidding about the Jar Jar part. But it was, again, like I was cautiously optimistic. Then I was like, how could they fuck this up after Boba Fett? And then the show starts and I was like totally blown away by it, which a lot of us were. I think from the beginning, it was just like, whoa, from the start of it. The show starts with Order 66, and it just kind of runs from there. And the beginning of it too, like all the Jedi fucking fighting the clone troopers, and you can see like lightsabers going out as they're dying. And it's just like a the visuals in this are fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And they started hard, and they just stay that way the whole run of the episode, the whole run of the season so far. Like we said, we're gonna be talking about the first five episodes. Spoilers are on. Because I know a lot of people actually haven't seen this, and which I was kind of like telling everyone I could tell at the job, you know, you got to watch this, man. It's really, really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
But yeah, what are your thoughts on it to start with?
My thoughts on it, I've absolutely loved this. I like props to Deborah Cho. She's like, I didn't really know much about her. I know she did a few episodes of Mr. Robot, which is pretty dope because I enjoyed that show. After that, I didn't know she did anything else. Until this, and like I was thoroughly surprised and actually like really excited to see how she put together all of what we saw on this show so far, and it's been great from beginning to end. Granted, we're not at the end yet, but just getting there has been a really good journey, a very fun and interesting look into what we didn't know happened after like episode 3 leading into episode 4 eventually. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, unless they bring Jar Jar as like the grand inquisitor at the end.
I don't think they could fuck it up. But they could give him some type of salvaging, you know, things to make his character just that much a little bit better than what he was then.
My eyes are rolling into the back.
I know. I can hear that Jar Jar
Sith theory is like, I know it's like a Reddit joke, but I'm like, no, it sucks. Come on, people suck. I actually went back and saw episode 3 again, right before it started, because it's kind of like, you know, it leads up to this, and it's still the best one. It's still not a great movie, but it's like out of the prequels.
Out of the prequels, this is the better one.
What kills me though is that I used to call the prequels the shitquels, and now I have to call the sequels the shitquels, because like the prequels make the sequels are so bad that they make the fucking prequels look like fucking Shakespeare. Like it's so like, yeah, I mean, I know we jump on the sequels a lot, but dude, like after watching so much good Star Wars for like last 2 years, it just makes the especially The Last Jedi, like it makes The Last Jedi and The Rise of Skywalker look like the cinematic fucking turds that they really are.
Yeah.
fuck Rian Johnson one more time. I mean, I know you guys like him and whatever, but fuck him. Like, I cannot believe someone could fuck Star Wars up that bad. Yeah, but anyway, I'm still bitter, goddammit.
That's fair. I ain't mad at you.
So much potential ruined by just one fucking hipster director. Anyway, back to the Obi-Wan stuff. Let's just start from the beginning. Episode 1 starts with Order 66, and then it cuts to 10 years later. Mm-hmm. And we're back on Tatooine. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, shit, it's another Tatooine show. But the first episode is just the first episode.
Yeah, exactly. It's only the first episode, and you need to start somewhere that it's already known, and instead of just going to a random place, because why go somewhere random when you have a perfect place to start?
Yeah, agreed. That was actually a really good thing, which a lot of people kind of like flipped out during the first episode because they're like, ah, fuck, another Tatooine thing. But yeah, that's where Luke's supposed to be, and Obi-Wan is on Tatooine looking out for Luke. Even mm-hmm. though the his family doesn't want him to, and he's just there. He's also a broken man. This is the thing that had me cracking up, right? Because, like, in Boba Fett, when we start, it's Boba Bitch. And then it kind of didn't really make sense for him to be like that. But then, like, when you watch Obi-Wan and the events after episode 3, and if you kind of just follow the story how it is right now, Obi-Wan at this point is a broken man.
Yeah.
He's lost everything. He's been on the run for 10 years. He's been hiding mm-hmm. for 10 years.
Yeah, he's everything been hiding. He hasn't used his powers in a while either.
For 10 years, yeah. Like, he's hiding from the Emperor, and he's hiding from Vader. And he's cut himself off from the Force, which is something that's been explained in the lore. Like, Yoda does it too when he goes to Dagobah. Mm-hmm. We were talking about it before. In the lore, Yoda, like, basically, like, wipes out all life on Dagobah so that he can kind of hide himself from the Force, which is, like, epic level Jedi shit.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to Obi-Wan, his like personal mission is to keep an eye on Luke and Leia. Like, he promised Padme, and he thinks he kind of owes it to Anakin, or the memory or spirit of Anakin, because who he believes is dead and who he believes he killed. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like, we also bring in the Inquisitors, who a lot of kind of Star Wars people were kind of confused about them, but like, people who only watched the Disney stuff and like the live action Disney stuff and haven't played the video games and haven't watched the cartoons had no idea who these characters are. The Inquisitors are, they're a retcon, meaning there was something that was made up for the Disney stuff after everything. And they were first introduced in the Star Wars Rebels cartoon, which I think is really good. I like it a lot better than Clone Wars. I know people fucking love Clone Wars to death, but I don't fucking get it. I mean, I guess it's kind of like us with the stuff that we grew up in the 80s. A lot of kids grew up with the prequels, so like, their taste is already skewed. That's all I'm gonna say. And they like certain things. Clone Wars, actually, I'll say this, it started out really bad and it got really better as it went along. Like, the later seasons got better in terms of everything, like in terms of like the animation look and the storytelling and the characters too, because when it first started, it was all about like the politics and the clone trooper stuff and like Jedi politics, and like, it was really boring. And then you get to like the later seasons where like they're bringing Ahsoka and they start. Well, Ahsoka's there from the beginning, but the later seasons, the storytelling gets better. It becomes more about like the relationships between like Obi-Wan, Anakin, Ahsoka, and everybody else in the Jedi Order. We see different aspects of everything, and it got better and better. Then after Clone Wars came Rebels, which takes place, I guess, like around the same times as the Empire. It's the Rise of the Empire. It's around the same time as Rogue One. It shows a bunch of people running around the beginning of the rebellion, or another part of the beginning of the rebellion, and all these characters running around. As this is going on, the Emperor and Vader, they make their own kind of like, they create their own squad or army of Jedi hunters. They're not specifically Jedi, but they've been training the dark ways of the Force. Most of them were Jedis before they became Inquisitors. And it's just a really cool kind of like, it's a really cool way of turning parts of the Star Wars story in between the movies that like, people have kind of had to kind of figure out. And there was like all these gaps in the story. And it was a really good way of kind of like bridging the gap between Clone Wars and the next movie trilogy. Star Wars Rebels is really good. I like it better than Clone Wars. It's about five or four seasons long. It's got Vader. It's got Obi-Wan. It's got, spoiler, it's got Darth Maul. It's got the ending of Darth Maul, which is really cool. If you love this season, definitely check out the season that has Obi-Wan on Rebels. But yeah, and it cuts to all this stuff with the Inquisitors. This is the first time we see them in live action. They're huge in the Star Wars video game Jedi Order, and I guess the sequel Jedi Survivor is going to be coming out next year. And they're great characters. They're not necessarily black and white evil. Rebels explains the Inquisitor. I'm not going to get into it too much, but they explain who the Grand Inquisitor was and is, and how he came to be. We also see the other dude, the Asian looking guy, who's played by one of the guys from Fast and Furious,
the fifth brother.
Yeah, the fifth brother. He's in the video game and he's in Star Wars Rebels. Reva isn't, but we're gonna figure that shit out. I guess they're gonna explain in the next episode why Reva isn't there. But yeah, that first episode is really good. Like, it sets up Tatooine. It sets up the conflicts between Obi-Wan and himself and Owen. He's trying to do what he's meant to do, but he's also trying to hide. And stuff happens in the episode. Like, it gets pretty hardcore.
Yeah. It gets really hardcore, which I loved about it. I was like, this is dope. This is a lot better than I expected. When it actually came to having the action within the episode, you're like, wait, where is this going? Is this going to stay like this for the entire show? Or is this just going to be just a really, really good episode and filler, filler, filler until the very end? And no, it wasn't like that.
Yeah, you see a lot of stuff that's pretty intense for Star Wars, like the dead Jedi hanging in town, which is kind of she's kind of fucked up. The way the Inquisitors just randomly go after stuff. And then at the end of it, you see like a little peek of Vader. And again, it's a great first.
And it was a good little tease. It was a very good little tease at the end of that one.
Yeah. And again, like, there's like little things that you kind of like take for granted when you watch this stuff. Like, again, I'm not the biggest fan of the prequels, but when I saw, like, you know, Obi-Wan back on screen, I was like, oh, that's awesome. Like, it was really cool, like, having him back on screen like that. Because, he's had a really good career. I've seen him in most of the stuff that he's done since. Yeah. The Trainspotting sequel was actually really, really good. That came out, like,
I still haven't seen that one yet.
It's actually really good.
Okay. And throughout the whole episode, he's also having, like, not necessarily just flashbacks, but he keeps hearing Qui-Gon in his head telling Qui-Gon, pretty much like telling him, yo, like, you need to, you know, maintain yourself and handle your own thing and do all these things. And he's just like, I don't know what I'm doing. It's totally different than what I'm used to. Especially, like, he's been away from for so long. Qui-Gon isn't around. He's pretty much been dead for the last 10 years. And he just has all of these thoughts about him and the possibilities of, like, yo, can I do this? And he's like, yo, you can. You have the force. You're strong with the force. Let it work for you. Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's that's the thing that, like, kind of, like, really, really annoyed me. I mean, the internet always annoys me, but it was really kind of like... Like, the reaction to the first episode where they were like, oh, why is he such a bitch? I'm like, hello, like, have you guys not been paying fucking attention?
Yeah.
These people fucking bitch and moan about, oh, the prequels are awesome. And I'm like, you forgot what the fuck happened in the movie. Mm-hmm. At the end of it, the bad guys won. They're all kind of, like, lost. And imagine being like that for 10 years. Not only that, like, it's been 10 years since he's been, like, in exile, doing what he's doing, and he's been living on the run. After 10 years, he hasn't done anything. Mm-hmm. He's just been pretending to be like a regular kind of like person on Tatooine. All of a sudden, everything kind of like goes from 0 to 1,000 in a matter of days. And he's got to, like, you know, he's got to man up and start fighting again. He hasn't done this shit in 10 fucking years. And everyone's like watching this, like, oh, why isn't he like the badass Jedi again? It's going to take a couple seconds, dude. Like, think of it in terms of sports, right?
Yeah.
All these idiots watching fucking football and everything else. You can't put someone on a football field who hasn't played in 10 years and expect them to play at full capacity. It's not how it works.
That's why, and not even just that, like, from one season to the next, like, at the end of the season, if they don't do anything as far as like practice or anything, by the time the first game starts again, they're going to be rusty as hell.
Yeah, it's like, I know it's supposed to be like, you know, make believe and space wizards, but like, let's look at it a little realistically.
Yeah.
think of the Force or anything like that as something that you have to use. And if you're out of practice, you're just not going to be that good. And especially if you've like physically fucking stopped that shit from like working, kind of like not using your right arm for 10 years. And then someone gives you a gun and be like, yo, you got to shoot everyone in front of you for like an hour. Yeah. It's not going to fucking happen. It's not going to work. You're going to like shoot bystanders. And you're going to be like a cop. Anyway, it just doesn't work that way. And I was just cracking the fuck up reading these, like, you know, the Twitter reviews and some of the Reddit posts. And I'm like, look, guys, like, this is actually really well written. The fact that he's such a bitch in the beginning of it. Bitch is such a bad word to use in this context. But the fact that he's not, you know, he's not at 100%. He's not even at 50% when
the stuff. Well, like you said at the beginning, he's just broken. He's just a broken dude. Yeah.
And that's the other thing. Like, I'm going to sound like an old fucking man at this, but that's another thing I noticed about this. Like, a lot of young people watch this shit and they kind of like don't think past their noses. And it's really hard for people who haven't experienced certain things to kind of put themselves in certain places.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, it's even like, even if you don't do something for a year and you go back and try to do it at the same level you were doing it a year ago, especially as you get older, I know from experience where like I fucking didn't throw a punch and then I go to the gym and hit a heavy bag and I fucking get a Charlie horse or a fucking tennis elbow. It's not, you know, if you don't use those muscles, they're out of practice. I can only, and then just imagine it with the Force. Like, if you don't use it for a while, it's just going to be, it's either not going to be there, or it's going to be really hard for you to use.
Yep.
So the fact that he doesn't go fucking buck wild in the beginning of the episode when the Inquisitor starts threatening people, especially when Reva threatens Uncle Ben, it makes sense that he couldn't do anything, and he's just, like, kind of, like, scared and just, like, hiding there. Because, like, Reva fucks people up, and, like, the Inquisitors fuck people up in that first scene.
Yeah,
and he can't do anything. He's just like, whoa, what the fuck? And also, like I said before, like, this is like in the context of the show, none of these people have been on Tatooine. The Empire has left Tatooine alone for the most part. They're it's on the outer rim. It's a backwater. It's like being in the middle of Oklahoma. There's a reason why they picked Tatooine to hide Luke.
Yeah,
and there's a reason
desert.
Why
it's literally a desert. Yeah,
it's a desert planet. It's a backwater. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's literally on the borders of Imperial space. And that's another reason why they hide Leia in plain sight, because no one suspects and no one can really sense that she's a Jedi yet. And it's, like I said, that first episode was really, really well written. Everything from the Jedi on the run looking for Obi-Wan to the Inquisitors and in the introduction, to the Inquisitors and especially the introduction of Reva, who Moses Ingram, who I think is a really great new talent. I think she's fucking awesome. I love her portrayal of the Inquisitor. She's a very human villain that we really haven't had in the show so far. She's really good. I also love the way she handled herself from all the hate from the fucking stupid Star Wars haters and racist Star Wars fans that fucking jumped on her. And I also love the fact that like Disney and everyone else came to support her. I also love the fact that they did that as opposed to what they did with Gina Carano. Because Gina Carano was a fucking asshole. And there was no reason to protect her for being a fucking hateful person and a fucking moron. Meanwhile, this person is just existing and living a dream and not being an asshole. And all these fucking racist pricks fucking jump on her. And not only that, she fucking fought back, which I love. There you go. I love the character. I have a feeling, we're going to talk about it later, but I have a feeling she's not going to make it through the end of the show, but I would love to see her running around somewhere.
Absolutely.
Especially her story arc, because we figured it out from the first episode. Like, they actually, now that I'm rewatching the first episode as we're talking about it, like, I had a feeling, but yeah, she's the first like, youngling they show on the show. She's like the literally the first one they show in the first episode. Yeah.
Which is great, which I loved how they did that.
Yeah, the foreshadowing, this is really, really well done.
Now, the second episode.
Oh. Yeah, like that first episode was just really well written. Really great introduction. Like I said, I was cracking up at the reaction of people. Like, why are you bitch? I'm like, yeah, like, hello. But yeah, so the second episode.
Yeah, the second episode basically it follows the kidnappers.
Let me get back to that point in the first episode. This is one of my huge complaints of the other show, and it fucking ended in the second episode. I am really sick of the stunt casting in Star Wars. They got to stop doing this shit. I don't want to see fucking Flea or any other fucking asshole from any rock and roll band in a fucking show ever again. I get it, all right? But the next thing they're going to do is have fucking Trent Reznor in the fucking R2-D2 suit. No, all right? Cut the shit. The Red Hot Chili Peppers are a great band bursting their fucking assholes, all right? You can see it in the documentary that we talked about a couple years ago. If you Google their fucking like records and their spousal abuse shit, you can see it too. I love them as a band. I hate them as people. I don't want to see this fucking asshole, ugly motherfucker bass player on my TV screen, man. It's fucking annoying. But he fucking dies in the second episode. But yeah, Flea is one of the kidnappers. It fucking stopped me in my tracks when I was watching this shit. I was like, why is this motherfucker on here? And again, like, you got money, bro. Fix your teeth. I was like, ugh. But I mean, he plays a good asshole, so there it is.
Yeah.
At the end of the first episode, Leia gets kidnapped by Flea, of all fucking people. And that leads us into the second episode and the story progression. What's his name? Bail Organa? Yeah, Bail Organa calls Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan goes to the desert and finds the lightsabers that he hid. And that was another thing. People were complaining online about how the fuck did he find them. He's not a Jedi. He's not a Jedi at this point. But it's Star Wars. They can fly. They have lasers. Yeah. They have trackers.
Yeah.
We have GPS trackers in our shitty world. Yeah. Why are people so stupid? Like, but yeah, like the nitpicky Star Wars nerds, man, they had me dying. And I was like, they make me feel better about me myself because I'm like, I'm not that bad. Like, I know I could be really bad with this shit, but I'm not that bad. But yeah, like you were saying, the second episode.
Yeah, the second episode, they're Obi-Wan's pretty much on a journey trying to find Leia that's been kidnapped. I forgot to mention earlier in the first episode. We got to revisit Jimmy Smith as Organa, which we haven't seen him in a while from the prequels.
I love seeing space pics.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to see them. They're great. and Uncle Owen. We didn't see Uncle Owen since the prequels as well, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that they look good. Like, they still look pretty much the same, which I thought was nice.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't like deteriorate in age after age, you know, which tends to happen to a lot of people. But they look good for you know their age. It could have been makeup too, but you know they still look high. They look decent as compared to what it was, you know, in the prequels, which were like what 10, 20 years ago almost.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Holy shit! Yeah, because episode 3 was 2005.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. So they make it to a plant to Daiju and
not Tatooine.
not Tatooine. And Obi-Wan is trying to find Leia. Where is he gonna go? Where is he gonna go? How is he gonna figure this all out? At the same time, Reva's trying to find her as well. And it's just like, where is it going? And then it's a really dark planet. And then this is the one where we actually get to see another quote unquote Jedi.
And the clone trooper thing was cool too with this guy.
Yeah,
Temuera Morrison as not only a clone trooper, but he's one of the Order 66 clone troopers. He's he's a one. What is it? 501st.
Yep.
He's a 501st clone trooper. Obi-Wan gets shook, gives him some credits. And apparently that was the first time Temuera was in a suit. Like, he never wore the clone trooper suit when he was filming the prequels.
Really? I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. And the other thing about this show that I love is that they use real stormtroopers.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was like cosplayers of 501st or Disney started to make their own suits, but these stormtroopers, for the most part, the ones that are close to the camera, and especially the ones in the battle scene in episode 5, like, they're real costumes. You can really tell, like, the way I can tell is you look at the shoulder pads and the back plate, because you can tell that they're not all the same, and they're not even, and they're, like, moving around when you see them, like, kind of running. Because you don't see that on the CGI ones. The CGI ones, the shit doesn't move.
Yeah.
And Obi-Wan's daughter, Ewan McGregor's daughter is actually in here. The drug-dealing death stick girl, or spice girl.
That's really? Daughter. That's funny.
Yeah, that's his daughter.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
so,
again,
so,
I love, like you were saying, I love seeing like another Star Wars planet that's like another, like, you know, Blade Runner kind of planet that we saw. Mm-hmm. Again. I mean, they did it in Mandalorian, and Boba Fett was all fucking Tatooine. But yeah, they take us to another fucking city planet, and it's not Tatooine, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he's on the hunt for her in this underground city. And then he meets Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, Kumail Nanjiani, who's actually pretty damn good.
I'm starting to love this guy again.
He's good.
He's like in everything. I loved him in Silicon Valley, but like he was in fucking everything for a minute. And I'm like, dude, enough. But no, he's awesome.
Yeah, he's also in Eternals as well, which I know you haven't watched it, but
I tried.
It's an interesting take on a story, which kind of, you know, it's a journey. It's a journey because that's the beginnings of the universe, essentially.
It's a long CGI mess of a journey that I thought was a waste of 2 fucking hours and a really good cast.
Yeah.
But we're going to get Jon Snow. We're going to get Jon Snow again. So, whatever.
Yeah. But back to this. Kenobi's just going in and out everywhere, trying to figure out where could Leia be. And then Kumail's pretty much like, I have the Force, but meanwhile he's not. He doesn't have the Force. He's just swindling people into figuring out ways to get around. Which is, you know, it's a way to make money, but of course it's not the right way to do it.
Which is actually kind of a brilliant thing that they never showed before, which makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm. Because they're like, oh yeah, I know Jedi, somebody that can help you. But yeah, it's just a ruse the entire time.
That's actually something really that I don't think we've really talked about in any of the Star Wars stuff that we mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
But Jedi in their universe, especially at this point in the Star Wars timeline, they're like ghosts.
Yeah.
They're legends. This is like, it's like almost 20 years since the Clone Wars. And the Jedi have been turned into like boogeymen and monsters by the Empire, the propaganda of the Empire. So a lot of people, one, don't know what a Jedi is. Two, think they're monsters or ghosts.
Yeah.
So it's a really interesting thing to kind of show this little part. I mean, I know some of the books and some of the comic books have kind of gone into it. Especially some of the Clone Wars kind of went into it too, with like Jedi being kind of like this different kind of thing to normal human beings in the Star Wars universe. But yeah, this is the first time you kind of see like a different take on the whole Jedi legend. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. It was really cool. I was like, I kind of like how they did it. I like how he's easily just like tricking people into just giving him money. Because he uses, you know, technology to do things.
And he's not like, the way they first introduce him, you think he's a bad guy, but he's just a survivor. Like he's just a normal person kind of doing his thing. Yeah, he's not being completely honest, but in his own way, he's helping people because he's pointing them into the direction of the rebellion.
Yeah, which it made sense for them to do it that way. I was like, okay, I like where this is going. I like how they're introducing his character into this and seeing where he could possibly go within the story itself.
I like to think of him as another scoundrel Han Solo type. He's not necessarily a good guy, but he's not necessarily a bad guy. He just wants to survive in a really crazy world.
Yeah. And then he eventually throughout the episode, he actually, Kenobi actually winds up finding, pretty much locating where Reva has pretty much taken Leia. And
yeah, because like Obi-Wan doesn't trust him, we don't trust him, but it actually does help him escape.
Mm-hmm. And he finds her, and you know, they're pretty much Obi-Wan pretty much gets himself arrested by the Inquisitors, and in within the lair or whatever in what was it, Mustafar?
Yeah. No, it's another planet. The Inquisitor base is on another planet, which I forgot. Okay. It's in Jedi Order. It's in the video game. Me and Brian were like geeking out because it's in the video game. But yeah, no, it's not. It's in the same system, but it's not the same planet.
Okay. Well, they're in there. But that's still Daiju, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So they're there, and what is it? Reva is basically doing the Inquisitor thing. She's just questioning a child, trying to figure out, like, yo, we need to know where this guy is. Why don't you tell us? Why can't you give us this? She's like, I'm not going to say anything because I don't know anything or whatever. Because, of course, she's trying to be a good guy. She's like, I want to help this guy because, you know, he's helping me. I'm not going to tell you anything. And she's like, yo, like, I guess I'm going to have to fucking do what I've done with all these other people, in which you see at this point, you see tons of different Jedis pretty much mounted in the halls. In
the Dead Jedi. Yeah.
It's not even like carbonite. It's just they're
yeah,
in.
They're like in space from out of high.
Mm-hmm. Which is very weird. Very, 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 how do you say? It's fucked up.
Yeah, it is. I didn't notice a couple of things. I didn't notice that one of the Dark Maul's race is in the episodes, in episode two. And Obi-Wan is doing the Alec Guinness thing, where he's like, you know, rubbing his beard and like being an old man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't notice that when I saw it the first time. Yeah, like the little fight scene when Obi-Wan's in the drug den. Like, I really like that when he's like fighting and not, you know, he's not using his powers. He's just like fighting like a normal person. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. And he wound up using a blaster in there as well.
Yeah, I think he uses his force powers a little to make the lab explode.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
Mm-hmm. But it's pretty cool the way he did this. And then also, at this point, towards the end of the episode, he winds up pretty much getting a hold of Leia because his partner pretty much... what was her name?
Reva. No, not Reva. Leda? Lada? Something like that?
Right. She pretty much kind of... told Reva, like, oh yeah, I know where he is. He's not here. And she's telling him a whole story, lying to her, essentially telling her, like, you know, he's not around. I don't know where he is. But yet being the distraction in order for Obi-Wan to pretty much get to Leia and try to get the GTFO out of there, you know?
Yeah, and then it leads to the chase through the city and the rooftops.
Yeah.
And we see Obi-Wan and Leia trying to get away from them. And we see Reva do this like whole predator fucking parkour jumping thing around chasing them. Which
was a really dope scene. Granted, yeah.
And the other bounty hunter chasing him.
Yeah.
And the bounty hunter chasing Obi-Wan too.
Yeah. That was a really, really good scene. And then it pretty much ends.
Yeah, the episode ends. The episode ends with the revelation that Reva's chasing them. She catches Obi-Wan. Well, Obi-Wan escapes. And as he's escaping, she tells him that Anakin Skywalker is still alive. Mm-hmm. And that Darth Vader is still alive. Which I totally took for granted that Obi-Wan didn't know. And that most of the galaxy doesn't know. One, that Vader's Anakin. And that, you know, Anakin is Vader. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that Reva knows who he is like, whoa. And it didn't hit me till episode 5, but yeah, like it's a huge thing and a huge giveaway because most of the galaxy doesn't know about the whole Vader thing or the Emperor thing either.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. And then at the end of the episode, we get to see.
And she also Vader. She also quote unquote kills the Grand Inquisitor.
Right. Yes, because she turns on him in a way. I guess you can say.
Yeah. Which is kind of like it was a big swerve.
A huge swerve.
Because we knew, like, if you see, because all the Star Wars nerds that know that he survives. Like, the Grand Inquisitor is still alive at least until Rebels. At least until the beginning of Rebels. So, yeah, it was pretty, pretty crazy. Yeah, and then watching Hayden Christensen in the Vader makeup in the tank was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. In the back of the tank, that was pretty damn dope.
Yeah, the episode ends with Vader in the back of the tank. Yeah. Episode 3. I really, really liked episode 3. Some people didn't like it too much, but I liked episode 3 a lot.
Yeah, episode 3.
Episode 3 starts with Obi-Wan and Leia trying to meet up with the people and the contacts that Indian Samuel Jackson led them to. So they end up on this planet, and they're trying to meet their contact. And things don't go, of course, things don't go as planned.
Yeah, they don't at all.
Yeah, and this
they wound up getting picked up by one of the empires or whatever, you know. Like,
yeah, and then what is it, an imperial contractor?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, which is pretty cool. It was pretty cool that way. When he was like, "Oh yeah, you know, you gotta be down with the empire," kind of like how people would be nowadays with, like, you know, like Trump or stuff like that. It's like, oh. Because I guess that's the only way you could really, like, explain it in a way. Like,
Space MAGA.
Yeah, funny. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Make space great again.
Make space great again. That's great. But yeah, it was interesting to see how they're trying to basically show a totally different side of what the world is at that point. Because of course, you know, they're both hiding and they're both trying to get somewhere, and they need every little bit to help, and every little thing counts to help. And they do good. They hide themselves in plain sight. And he's talking to her while they're there, and he's like, yo, like if you look so much like your mom, like it kind of makes me sad that she's not around anymore. And it kind of shows that he has a lot of heart in him that we kind of knew, because of course, you know, he did save them. He got them to where they are now. But like, it's been so long since then that you're just like, wow, okay. Like he really did care about them and the whole family, because of course, you know, they were his homies. They were his people that pretty much disappeared.
Yeah, Anakin was like his brother.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Uncle Ben. It's crazy, too, because, like, we didn't really talk about it yet, but the little girl that they got to play Leia, because that was the thing about the show. Like, we thought it was going to be about Luke, and Disney Lucasfilm did a really good job of, like, not spoiling it. But, yeah, we thought it was going to be about Luke, but it ends up being about Leia, which mm-hmm. I was completely surprised, but, like, pleasantly surprised about, because I didn't think they would go there at all.
Yeah,
and the kid that they got to play Leia is phenomenal. I think she's a really fantastic. Good kid actor.
Absolutely.
I also love the fact that Disney. Well, I guess it's not George Lucas Lucasfilm, but yeah, they finally figured out how to pick kid actors like a fucking actor.
Mm-hmm. But it's I don't. I wouldn't even say it's just that. I think it's just the fact that like casting has gotten so much better.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. But at the same time, like Lucas had a fucking really bad habit of hiring the worst kids. Yeah, to act in the prequels, man.
Yeah, but it was actually, she's actually like really, really good.
And yeah, she's like, really, she's great. She's really good.
Yeah, kid actors nowadays are actually doing their thing. They're actually proving pretty damn good.
And she's able to like pull off like the Leia kind of spirit, like her mm-hmm. attitude, which is really cool. Like the way they wrote her, I actually really like it. You just see kind of like little hints of the fact that she is force sensitive, and that mm-hmm. she's gonna be. That's part of why she's like the way she is. That's why she's so good at reading people, and it's like instinctive to her because she's a Skywalker.
Yep.
This third episode, we kind of go more into the Inquisitors. We go into more. We finally start seeing Vader pop up, and the episode gets pretty hardcore, like pretty fast too. Even before like you know the Vader stuff halfway through the episode. Once Obi-Wan and Leia get discovered, they kind of go pretty ham against the Empire.
Yeah.
Watching that stormtrooper get like ripped apart. Yeah. Like, cut in half was one of the coolest Star Wars things I've ever seen, man.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
And it was like such a surprising thing. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
I was thoroughly surprised. Made me feel really happy. It's nothing more that I like seeing is people getting, you know, chopped in half.
It's like, hey, that escalated quickly.
Yeah.
And then, like,
yeah.
the rest of the episode kind of, like, stays at that level. Because, like, yeah, like, we see Vader kind of, like, pop up. This is the first time we see Vader again. This is the first time we've seen Vader in action since, I guess since Rogue One. But, like, we haven't seen him in the story mm-hmm. setting. This is the first time we've seen him since Episode 3.
Yeah. Yeah, because we haven't seen him as Vader since then. Because of course, you know, we've seen him in the Clone Wars, not necessarily even just then, but like also in Rebels, we've seen him.
Rebels, yeah.
But we haven't seen him in live action, and seeing him be a complete ass, because that's what he is. He's a dick, but he's doing it because that's his job. Like, I have to be this. I have to be this way because fuck everybody. You're not with me. You're against me the entire time. And I'm gonna do what I need to do because this is this is the way. Yeah.
And then seeing Vader like step into that town and like the way everybody reacts to him too is pretty crazy. Yeah, just watching, which is the way they introduce him with him walking down the streets.
Yeah.
And him just like killing people left and right just to kill him and kind of just do it. He doesn't even have to do it. Like, he's not even doing it to show Obi-Wan because he has no idea where he is.
Yeah.
He's just like, fuck these people.
Yeah.
He's like,
he's cracking necks wherever he goes, choking everybody.
This is the thing too that a lot of people who have just watched like the Star Wars stuff and haven't really got into the lore or even the video game, man, because that Jedi Fallen Order game is really good. At the end of the game, at the end of Jedi Fallen Order, you're basically like an Obi-Wan. You're a Jedi on the run after Order 66, and something happens to you, and the Empire and the Inquisitors start chasing you throughout like most of the game. And the ending of the game isn't like a normal boss fight. Like, you don't fight Vader. You run away from Vader. Vader's like the shark in Jaws at the end of the game. Like, he's unstoppable. Like, you can't do anything against him. If you try to fight him, you're going to die instantly. Yeah. And that's one of the best characterizations of Darth Vader ever done. And when they show him to us in this show, that's how he is. He's at the height of his powers. He's still just raw anger. It's been 10 years for him, but it hasn't been 10. It hasn't been 10 long years. It's been just one long thing of him fucking suffering and agony and shit after what Obi-Wan did to him. And then seeing him fucking come out and confront him is just so good and so well done. Yeah. It was so well written. The lines that Vader says to him are fucking hardcore. Like, you know, what happened to you? What have you become? And he's like, I am what you made me. And he's right. Like, as much as we want to love Obi-Wan, he fucking set this dude. He cut three of his limbs off and set him on fire. Yeah. Like, yeah. I'd be fucking angry too, man. Like,
yeah, really, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's such a raw portrayal of that. I mean, you haven't really seen like that kind of Vader or Star Wars thing on anything on the live screen. It was really good.
Yeah.
Like Vader's scary, hearing his James Earl Jones voice too. Because, like, some of the video games, like, they don't have him. I mean, a lot of Disney money will get you to do anything. But I know, like, a lot of the stuff recently, because I know he did the voices in the cartoons. And I think he might have done the voice in Jedi Fallen Order. I got to look it up again. Because I know Disney and the video games, they pay their people big bucks. So I'm pretty sure they could have gotten him. But, yeah, everything about Vader, man. The voice, the suit, all that shit, dude. It was so fucking awesome seeing him on screen again, man. Because as much as this is Obi-Wan's show, it's also Darth Vader's show.
It really is, which is what I love about it. It's a little bit of both because it is the yin and the yang at the moment. You need the good and the bad. You can't have either one without the other.
And one of the things that I've been thinking about as I was watching this is like, could Obi-Wan be this evil? Like, could the roles have been reversed? But we don't know. Like, you know, like that's something that I was kind of wondering about. Like, you know, could things have changed, you know? Could Anakin have, like, you know, not fallen? Or could the Emperors have whispered into Obi-Wan? Right. Because any of the Jedi could have been taken. It wasn't just because Anakin was that strong, but any of them could be manipulated. Anyone could be manipulated by the right circumstances and the right people.
Yeah, especially, if you think about it, like, they led different lives because...
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
Anakin was pretty much he was abandoned.
Yeah, he was a street kid, and he already had his anger on Tatooine. Yeah,
he had tons of anger in him, and from what we know so far, from what we've seen, is that Obi-Wan was being trained by, you know, the most chill dude that we could think of. Because we never saw anything like, oh yeah, he's trying to go against them. We don't know if he was pretty, he just came in as like, oh yeah, this is, you know, this is by choice what I want to do with myself.
Yeah.
So we don't know exactly where it could have been, or he could have also, you know, been taken, because of course, you know, that happens. with a lot of these people that, you know, technically become Jedi yeah. or become Sith, you know, they are taken, yeah. and, you know, because, of course, you know, to the victor comes the spoils and shit, you know?
Yeah, and even Obi-Wan says it to Leia. He's like, I don't remember my family. I was taken very young.
Mm-hmm.
The cool thing, too, and the crazy thing about this is, like, when Vader comes out of the dark and Obi-Wan's just standing there, he's like, fuck this, I'm out of here. And, like, turns off the lightsaber and runs away.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. I didn't like that. Yeah, he's like, yeah, like I can't do this. I don't know how to. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
I'm gonna run away. Yeah. Fuck this. I mean, I don't blame the guy. Like I said, he's like fighting. I mean, it's a lightsaber, but it might as well be a fucking wet noodle if you don't know how to fucking use it. So
yeah,
exactly. That was another thing that a lot of people were kind of like digging on, and I tried to explain it online, but basically, all right, I'm gonna bring out my big Star Wars nerd thing. They talk about it a lot in the older books. And they didn't, I don't know, because I tried reading the newer Star Wars stuff, and the High Republic novels are really good, but, like, the stuff that takes place in a sequel era is just, like, it's, like, written for TikTok fans, and I can't read that shit. Like, it's really stupid. But the High Republic stuff is really good. And in the old novels, right, like, they explained how a lightsaber is supposed to work and why you need the Force to use it. Which is what kind of like really annoyed me of Finn in the sequels being able to fucking just wave that shit around without any fucking Jedi training. All right, so you know how like a normal knife and a normal sword, a knife will have one edge, right? And a sword will have two edges, maybe three, right? A lightsaber is an all-edged bladed weapon.
Yep.
And it's also a fucking laser. So it's like, not only do you have to be able to like protect yourself so that you don't hit yourself with it and kill yourself or chop something off, you also have to be able to like control and manipulate the laser part of it too. So it's not just swinging it. You have to control it with the Force, which is a fucking really cool way of like explaining how most normal people can't use a lightsaber and why you have to be a Jedi to use one.
Yep.
So the fact that Obi-Wan hasn't been fighting with this stuff and hasn't trained with it in a while, makes sense why he can't fucking fight someone as powerful as Vader. Not only that, Vader's been training constantly. He's in his fucking chamber. He's a robot. Mm-hmm. He's also been training too. So he's at the top of his game as opposed to fucking Obi-Wan, who I keep saying hasn't been fighting in like 10 years. At least 10 years.
Yep.
So yeah, as much as we want Obi-Wan to be able to fight and stand toe-to-toe with Vader, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen at all.
At least not yet.
Yeah, no, exactly. Not until episode 5. And this episode, in episode 4, we figure out that...
Well, we're still on episode 3. Episode 3 is... It ends with Obi-Wan getting like pretty much destroyed by Vader. Not only does he get destroyed by Vader, but Vader tries to kill him the way Obi-Wan fucked Vader up. Like, he tries to set him on fire. Like, they're in the mining plant. Vader's trying to Vader's basically about to kill Obi-Wan, and he needs to distract Vader so that Leia can get away. And while this is going on, like, Vader fucking sets him on fire and almost kills him.
Yeah.
And Tala has to say, I don't know if it's Tala or Tila, whatever. She saves him. Tala, it's a crazy fucking episode, man. Like, we haven't seen anything this intense or this violent in a Star Wars anything towards Jedi. It was fucking fucked up and really intense. And I understand why the episodes had some of that, like, you know, content warnings. Because, like, yeah, I can see little kids freaking the fuck out. This is not... This is pretty hardcore for Star Wars, man. I was actually really, really surprised. Pleasantly surprised. Because it looks amazing. Just watching Vader do this shit was fucking cool. And, this sounds bad. But watching Obi-Wan suffer, I'm like, oh, shit. Like, you're like, holy crap, dude. Like, wow. Like, we knew as Star Wars nerds that he went through some shit, but this was fucked up. Like, and Vader's like, I want him to suffer. Like, it's a really cool scene.
Yeah.
Showing how far Vader has fallen, how far he's, how evil he is now.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Stormtroopers, man. Like, I don't, no homo, but like, my dick gets hard when I see Stormtroopers. Like, I love the way they look. Like,
they look good. They look good.
They look, yeah, they look great. Like, I just love the way, like, as opposed, like, the Clone Troopers look pretty cool, but I don't like the look, I hate the look of the duck ones from the sequels. Clone Troopers look pretty cool, but I love Stormtroopers, man. That's what you grew up on. Yeah. It's who we pretended to be.
It's the classic.
Yeah, it's who we were pretending to be when we were playing Star Wars as kids. You know, yeah. Pew pew. So yeah.
That's the legend now. Pew pew.
Yeah. But yeah, when you watch this stuff, look at their shoulders and like their hip plates. That's how you can tell who's real and who's not. Because mm-hmm. you can tell that they're not like they're always like moving and they're not in the same spot. I love this stuff, dude. Like watching yeah. Stormtroopers is like, yeah.
And that's perfectly understandable. Like, I get it, dude.
It's just and the dope. Fact that, see, I'm not a fan of that whole rebel propaganda. Like, they're Imperial Stormtroopers. They are the best of the best. Yeah. They pretended to be idiots and suckers in the first hours. Like, mm-hmm. it's they're good. All right, like they as part of the story, they have to be stupid idiots and not be able to shoot our heroes. But they're soldiers and they're trained. Yeah. They have fucking yep. helmets that. Pinpoint accuracy, right? They're fucking hardcore. I don't give a fuck what y'all think. It's not just because I have them tattooed on me. I love Stormtroopers. Like, I just think they're just fucking fair. Awesome. I just think they're like just some of the best designed fucking enemies in all of fucking fantasy and sci-fi.
So oh, I agree.
Love that look.
I agree.
Yeah, it's G.I. Joe, Cobra Troopers, and Stormtroopers, like the best designed bad guys.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I don't know about the yeah. Cobra. I don't know about the Cobra guy, but yeah.
The end of episode 3. Yeah, it ends with Leia being captured, and Obi-Wan getting fucked up. And episode 4.
Yep.
Episode 4 starts with credits. No, I'm kidding. Episode 4, which was the shortest episode, is yeah. So we just pick up where we had left off.
Mm-hmm. Vader escaping Mapuso.
Obi-Wan escaping Mapuso with the help of his friend, which I'm watching and I can't fucking remember her name.
Yeah, Tala.
Tala. Yeah, it's a really cool episode. They infiltrate. We see a lot of the Inquisitor base, which you've never, mm-hmm. like I said, if you haven't played the video game, you haven't seen a lot of it. They infiltrate the base. We get more of Tala's story. We get mm-hmm. hints of what happened to Reva, but we don't really get the full reveal until the next episode.
Yep.
We get to see a lot more of Leia. And I'm telling you, man, this kid is really good. Like, I hope this kid has a really good long career. She's really good, really fun.
She's really good, yep.
I hope if they do more stuff between this era that they use her. The Luke kid just had, like, the Luke kid, we haven't seen anything of him. I guess we're going to see him in the next episode.
Right.
But yeah, episode 3 is another one of those. Episode 4 is one of those episodes where they show more background stuff and they mm-hmm. show more of like behind the scenes stuff of how the rebellion started.
Yeah.
How different planets and different groups of people fought against the Empire and fight against the Empire in their own way. I guess they're like local rebellions.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool. We have this dude who's been in a bunch of stuff. He was in Straight Outta Compton. He's in
Ice Cube Kid.
Yeah, Ice Cube Kid. Yeah, he's in a bunch of stuff. He's in Long Shot with mm-hmm. Seth Rogen, which I think yeah. is a really funny movie, and he's actually yeah. really good in it. Yeah, man, I love seeing like you know good actors show up in this stuff.
Yeah,
like it's always fun. The woman that plays Tala is really good. She's in a bunch of other stuff. She mm-hmm. was in Rome. The first time I saw her was Rome, but she's been in a bunch of stuff.
Oh wow, I haven't thought about Rome in ages.
I love that show. Like it's yeah. the kind of show that I watch every couple of years. She, yeah, she's in Game of Thrones too. She was one of she's Oberon's sister. She's in.
Oh
she's
yeah, in yeah, 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 yeah. I remember now.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, the fourth episode is all about them rescuing Leia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool. It's a cool episode. I thought it was good.
Yeah, it was good. It was really good. And I guess this is the episode where kind of, I guess, like we kind of got our stories mixed up between episode 2 and this one. Because a lot of what
do you mean?
As far as them getting Leia out of there.
No, it happens twice. She gets captured in the second episode and she gets captured again.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I guess Leia likes being captured.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She loves being saved by Obi-Wan.
I mean, that's the whole point of the show, right? We wouldn't have yeah. a show if we didn't have the MacGuffin of Leia getting caught.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right about that.
I mean, that's all right. Well, that's actually a really good point that I kind of wanted to touch, and I kind of like forgot, and I want to get into it because it's one of the nitpicks that I have about the show, and it's actually a nitpick for a lot of Star Wars and Marvel stuff. And again, I get it because it's Disney and they're making both things. Enough with the space trains. We sort of got one in the beginning of the episode, in the first episode. No more fucking trains. I get it. But humanity has different ways of transportation, right? I get it. It was a space bus this time. But it was close enough to space train that I'm like, fuck it. No more. The whole redemption of a character thing, they've done it way too many fucking times. They did it in Marvel. They're doing it. They did it with Boba Fett. And they did it again with this show. If they do a second season of this, it can't be more the redemption shit. It has to be him being who he is when we see him in Star Wars. It has to be him actively protecting these people and being a Jedi again. Because at the end of the show, by episode 5, Obi-Wan's starting to get his powers back. Yep. And he's not at 100%, but he's good enough to stand up to Vader.
Yep.
So he can't be the same person he is in this show next time. But yeah, they did the same thing they did with Boba Fett in this show. Like, you know, he starts out as a punk bitch, ends up as a hero. Which is cool, but you can't, the hero's journey is the hero's journey, but they can't keep doing this shit.
Yeah, you can only have a hero's journey once. You can't have a hero's journey multiple
times. And they just did it with the sequels. Yeah. Like, they really need to get away from that. And because they've already announced that they are going to do movies after the sequel trilogy era, which I want them to do. We need more stuff after that, but we also need stuff that's better than the fucking awful sequels, which I think we're getting, because that's the other thing about the show that I love. And a couple of people pointed it out, and I said it. This is the way that you write a depressed Jedi. This is the way you write a fallen hero. Not the way you wrote him in Star Wars as Jedi. Not the way you wrote him as Luke in the sequels as an asshole. Like, that's not the way it works. It's not the way it should work in Star Wars, which is my huge problem with the sequels. Like, it was like Star Wars movies made by people who don't understand Star Wars.
Yeah.
The people who did the shows, the people that Disney has working on the shows now are the complete opposite of J.J. Abrams and Rian Johnson. They understand what makes Star Wars good, not their interpretation of Star Wars or what they want to make Star Wars look good or good. There's things already in the blood of Star Wars that are going to work every fucking time. And they can be worked with, and they can be changed, and they can make good stories, and they can make good shows, and I think they can make good movies, which is what we're seeing here. But my one thing is that they can't repeat themselves. They have to fucking get away from the hero's journey thing. The second season of Mandalorian did it really well. The parts of Mandalorian that are in the Boba Fett thing were really well. And they did what I'm talking about. But like, yeah, like they have to kind of get away from the hero's journey thing. Yeah, it's a hero's journey, but make it a different hero's journey as opposed to him, you know, being a bitch and then ending up as a badass. They can't do it again.
Yeah, no, they can't.
That was like my one major nitpick that I was like thinking about today when we're thinking about what we wanted to talk about tonight. There's certain things that they've gotten really well and they've done really well, but they do tend to repeat themselves and they have to stop. Step one was getting off fucking Tatooine for this, which I actually really like. Because I was like, please don't be fucking Luke all the time and just fucking Tatooine again. So I'm tired of fucking Sand 2 and like Anakin. Like, enough.
This episode, we actually get Reva continuing the interrogation. And essentially, he's like, oh, okay, whatever. I'll try to let you go. I'll see what I can do. But she doesn't. And Luke has to come, Obi-Wan has to come save her. And in letting her out, essentially she puts a tracker on Lola, which is the little android thingy that she has, the little droid that pretty much comes along with her wherever she goes.
That we all want.
It's pretty dope. It's pretty fucking cool. I like the little Lola droid. But yeah, she puts a tracker on her. And she's like, and essentially she's like, oh yeah, no, I let him go. I let them go. But then Vader's like, yo, like, why'd you do that? He's like, yo, because I got this. I'm going to make sure that, you know, I know where they're going. And then at this point, which takes us to episode 5.
There's a couple of things in episode 4 that they did really well. And then when we see what happens in episode 5, because like, at the end of episode 4, we're like, at least I was, I'm like, there's only 2 episodes left. How are they going to tie this shit up? How are they going to fix the plot holes that they created in the second episode with them, quote-unquote, killing the Grand Inquisitor? And Reva's kind of like, how Reva fits in the grander Star Wars story. Because the things that we see in the Disney shows actually matter in Star Wars, both in stuff that we haven't seen yet and stuff that we have seen, like this, which is like in between the movies, and like Boba Fett, which is after the good trilogy. So, yeah, dude, watching Obi-Wan go nuts on the stormtroopers when he rescues Leia is fucking badass.
Yeah.
It's really fucking dark, cool. Like, what the fuck? Uh-huh. Yeah, this show is so good, dude. I know, like I said, like I have issues with some of it, but like as far as the shows go, this is probably the best Star Wars thing that they've done.
Yep.
And as, for me, like so far, I still think the best Marvel one was like Captain America and Winter Soldier.
I think I agree.
It's tied with Obi-Wan. But yeah, at the end of episode 4, we were like, how are they going to tie this shit up? Because there's only like 2 episodes left. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it ends with Obi-Wan escaping Leia and Vader kind of confronting Reva and promoting her to Grand Inquisitor because he's like, yeah, like
you did good, kid.
Yeah, he promotes her either this episode or next episode.
Like, the next episode, the beginning of the next episode.
Yeah, he's like, you did good. You know, here we go. I didn't, you know, we didn't think you could do it. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and in that, she's like, yo, like, I'm going to go find them. I'm going to go get them, and I'm going to bring them to you.
And yeah, like, no.
I'll go with you. Because they pretty much go together.
Yeah, and episode 4 is when we see, like, Obi-Wan pretty much start getting his powers back. Because that's where he, like, he kills all the stormtroopers by, like, drowning them and blowing up the because the base is on the water, and he, like, blows up the hallway and all the stormtroopers drown.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah. That was pretty cool seeing the troopers just floating.
Yeah, it was like I said, man, a lot of the visuals in this have been really, really well done. Like, some of the violence too, like it's Star Wars violence, but it's like, whoa, like they really pushed the limits of what they've done so far in Star Wars stuff. I mean, some of the movies have kind of gotten OD with like, you know, cutting limbs off and heads off, but some of the shit we see in the show has been really good, like really kind of like pushing. More like a teenager,
especially for a TV show too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then episode 5 is where we get, you know, we get the great opening of Anakin and Obi-Wan practicing the lightsaber skills.
Yep.
I guess this is around the time of episode 3.
Yeah.
And Anakin, I can't believe this, man, but it was really good to see Hayden Christensen again.
Yeah, exactly. It really was.
Like they're a little de-aged, but it's not a lot. And it looks good on him.
Yeah, it doesn't look bad at all. It actually looks off the bar. It looks a lot better than, you know, than Samuel L. Jackson being DH and
Yeah. I have to watch that again. Like it's been ages since I've seen that movie. We start off with Vader on his Star Destroyer, which you haven't really seen in full.
Yeah.
On the show yet. But yeah, he promotes Reva to Grand Inquisitor. You've done well.
Yeah, he's like, you've been good. You've been good, kid. Appreciate it.
This is the Executor. It's Vader's personal Star Destroyer, which we see in Empire Strikes Back. We don't see it in Star Wars. But I kind of wish they actually showed it, because it's a dope-looking ship. It's a giant Star Destroyer.
Yeah. And this is also the episode where we pretty much find out that Reva was one of the younglings.
Yeah.
That pretty much watched Vader pretty much massacre them. In the temple on Coruscant.
I'm bugging, and I love that she's the first person we see in the show. She's literally the first kid that they show from Order 66.
Yeah. That was a pretty good callback. I was like, okay, I like it.
And the show is really, really beautiful. Like, it's the cinematography in this is really good. Like, it's shot really well. I was kind of joking around on the third episode because I was like wondering for Game of Thrones fans to start bitching about it being too dark. But it works so well because it's Vader and the lightsaber and everything. Yeah, like, it worked really well.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like a horror movie too. Like those scenes with Vader in the third episode are really hardcore.
Yeah,
like he's the monster that we know he is, and we finally get to see it. Kind of like in Rogue One, which is an amazing scene.
Yeah, it really is. I love Rogue One so bad.
I saw that one pretty recently too. Yeah, and episode 5, we get reunited with Raja. Hamaj's, what's his, dude, I always forget his name. Yeah, Raja, the fake Jedi. And he's back.
Yeah. There. Yeah. Who is he? He comes in handy.
Yeah.
Which I like that he's not just, you know, just standing around. But yeah, what is it?
So yeah, like they're on the run and they get to the planet that they're supposed to be trying to get to from the beginning, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, in between all this stuff going on, we have Vader chasing them, and they're both, Vader and Obi-Wan are both having flashbacks to the events of episode 3 and some of the other stuff that they went through.
Yeah. Oh, and this is when they actually wind up going through the tunnels, and because Ice Cube Jr. was pretty much trying to get out because they needed to get away.
So Reva plants a tracker. Not only a tracker, but she puts a restraining bolt. So like she gives the droid orders that the droid can't fight against. So the droid not only is tracking them, but he's sabotaging the base so that the rebels and Ice Cube Jr., Leia, Obi-Wan, and everybody else can't escape. And then that's when the Imperials land. And that's when Reva lands, and that's when you get Reva's origin. Obi-Wan figures out that not only does she know who Vader is, but most people don't know who Vader is. So she's like, how the fuck could you have known unless you were a youngling? And that's when it clicks for everyone. But again, I was so stupid and stoned when I saw the first episode. I didn't realize it was her. I knew it had to be one of them, but I didn't realize it was her until I saw it now.
Yeah,
because like,
the first time I saw it, I was like, yeah. And then you see her, and then you're like, wait, there was a little black kid in the other one too.
Yeah,
there has to be something there that's tied together. But it made sense. I like the way they did it.
And then when Reva walks through the stormtroopers, this is what I'm talking about. Like, those are real stormtroopers. Like the ones that are all there in that scene, they're all real people in suits. Mm-hmm. Which I fucking love, dude. Because it's like it adds this like this je ne sais quoi. I can't put it, but like they look so cool.
It adds a feel of grandeur to it,
like realness to it. They're also not the same height too, which is like that's like you notice it in the Mandalorian scene when in the first season, in the last episode when they're fighting them. Like you can tell they're CGI, but like. Yeah. These, you can tell, like, they're all kind of, like, real people in suits.
Yeah.
It's fucking
well, because essentially, like, in the prequels and stuff, they were supposed to be clones. So they're supposed to all be the same size.
Yeah.
And this one is...
Yeah, but they're all CGI in the prequels.
Yeah, yeah. But in
this one, in the sequels, they're not... Like, half of them in the sequels are CGI. But I know in the prequels, they're all CGI.
Right.
But I was shocked. I was shocked. I thought somebody had to be in a suit, but nah, it was all CGI.
Yeah. No, but I did like what they did with that. It was pretty damn cool.
Yeah. And then we see Leia go do her little thing. She's the only one that can fit in the tunnels.
So. Yeah, she's the only one that can fit into the tunnel.
The Lolo went and sabotaging.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan goes to confront the bad guys, and everybody else is trying to get away.
Yeah. And he's pretty much literally going through and chopping everybody. Which is really cool.
Like between episode 4 and this one, like he really starts to get his powers back, and he's like, "Yeah, fuck these people!" Like he just starts killing every stormtrooper in front of him.
Yeah, because and then towards the end of that, he's pretty much saying, "Like I'm gonna sacrifice myself because Vader really wants me. He doesn't want any of you guys."
Yeah, and like when I was watching it, it kind of hit me too. Like we know that he's gonna survive. He doesn't know he's gonna survive. So it's a pretty cool, kind of like crazy situation for him to be in. Another thing that we never saw him in any kind of context, because like, in the prequels, like, I don't think he's ever really scared of dying. Until episode 3.
Mm-hmm.
But like, this is the first time where we actually see him, like, you know, a Jedi be like really scared. And especially since it's Obi-Wan, it's kind of like, whoa, stakes are really high in this.
Yeah, absolutely. But it was actually pretty cool to see that. And then, Did he actually take him with him, or I don't remember the ending of the episode. My brain just went completely to shit after like I saw Reva pretty much get swindled.
Right, so Reva, so Obi-Wan and Reva talk, and Obi-Wan figures out Reva's plan, and we figure out Reva's plan because we didn't know what was going on. Mm-hmm. But he basically, Obi-Wan kind of puts it together, and he's like, you're not helping him, you're hunting him. And yeah. she's like, yeah, this is what I've been doing since the beginning, and I snuck mm-hmm. in, and I've been trying to do this.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And then that's where they kind of like leave it, because Obi-Wan goes back to keep fighting and kind of like escape, and she's like trying to keep playing her part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. You're right.
Yeah, and it's a great scene, man. The stormtroopers are like fucking coming in. Obi-Wan's fighting. You can tell they're gonna lose, but they're still fighting, and you know they're heroes. They're never gonna mm-hmm. give up, even though they know they're gonna die.
Yep. That's when Tyler pretty much sacrifices herself.
That was badass, dude. Like, yeah. The force be with you. Boom. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, that was really cool.
That was cool and sad at the same time.
Yeah.
Because at that point, Lucas is pretty much like, yo, like, there's no winning this. Like, I had to get out of this without you know, you guys actually coming in and actually being hurt in the long run. So that's when he pretty much, you know, gives himself in.
Yeah, he pretends to give himself up.
Yeah.
And then when Tala gets killed, like, the robot saves her. Her robot partner saves her. Well, tries mm-hmm. to save her.
Or tries to save her because he gets shot, too.
Yeah, he gets killed, too. Yeah, it's a really good scene.
Yeah. That was a really good scene. I was like, okay, they did that really well because that it gave me the feels. And, you know, I was like, I'm not. Again, another Star Wars movie that gives another Star Wars thing that gives me the fucking feels.
Yeah, I don't know because I'm getting older too, but like a lot of shit that like never bothered me or hit me like makes me emotional now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the Zoloft because I'm not on any kind of meds now except for weed. Right. So it's not that. Like, it's just, I don't know. Like, certain things that didn't bother me before really bother me now. Like, I don't know if it's recent events or just me getting older or what, but like seeing violence against children and women now in like horror movies and regular stuff like really fucks with me now. Mm-hmm. And it never did, and it's just something that I've noticed recently, and it's, I don't know, but yeah, like a lot of the stuff in this, because we're older and we know how certain things are, like, yeah, it's different, dude, like seeing some of the Star Wars characters that we grew up with and thought were like invincible and were like more than human, mm-hmm. or weren't, and like seeing them deal with their stuff like this is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And then yeah, like during all this, like we're watching flashbacks to Obi-Wan and Anakin training and stuff. And the way Anakin is like, this is how he always was. And this is kind of the reason for his fall. He was always angry. He was always impetuous. He was always not thinking the way he should be thinking.
He was always cocky, too.
And I don't mean, like, thinking wrong things. I mean, thinking, like, when all you... What's that saying? When you think like a hammer, all you see is nails.
Yeah.
And when you're like, when you're that angry, you don't think straight. And a lot of the things that happen to you happen to you because you're not thinking straight. Like mm-hmm. the way Obi-Wan catches him at the end, like if he wasn't that angry, Vader would have known not to fucking jump on him and he was going to get swapped.
Yeah. Yep. That was a real swift little move from Obi-Wan right there.
Yeah. Like one, it's actually when you watch it again, when you watch episode 3, and he's like, whoosh, it's like one little sweep of the lightsaber and he catches Anakin.
Yep.
In like one little thing.
Yeah, it was really good.
But yeah,
and then, this is also the episode that you see Vader pretty much when Luke and them are about to escape. He does what we saw in The Force Unleashed with him trying to get the ship out from the sky and drag it down to the ground, which was dope as hell to see it live, on a live show.
So as like almost halfway through the episode, I guess Vader shows up. I guess like half an hour, because I'm watching now, like half an hour into it, almost near the end of it. Leia gets into the tunnel. She finds Lola the robot, and she takes off the restraining bolt. Lola goes back to normal. Leia fixes the door, so they're open. They can escape. Vader comes in, and this is when we see them fighting for real. And it kind of lines up with the flashback that we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
The way that Vader fights in this and the way we've been seeing him fight is the way he fights against Obi-Wan in the thing. It's also the way Luke fights against Vader in Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we see Vader kind of like, oh yeah, they don't fight in this. I guess he's going to fight him again next episode.
Yeah, they just talk in this one.
Yeah, but yeah, he does... See, seeing Vader like this is fucking awesome. Because, like, again, I've seen this stuff in comic books. We saw it in the video games.
Yeah.
We haven't seen this in the movies at all. We've just kind of seen bits and pieces of it. Yeah, in Empire Strikes Back, homeboy's choking people through space. But, like, here, he's, like, he's tearing this fucking thing apart, and then he gets mm-hmm. fucking tricked, and Obi-Wan escapes, and you're like, yes.
Yeah.
You're like, whoa. Yeah, it was such a great fucking scene, man.
Yeah, it was a great swerve. And then the next swerve on this is when we see Reva pretty much get betrayed by Vader.
But the one before we see that, we see one last thing of Obi-Wan and Anakin training. And Obi-Wan explains to him how he escaped from Vader in the scene just now with the ship.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You can't win until you get over your anger.
Mm-hmm.
You need to control your anger or you'll never grow up and you're always going to be a learner. Which ties up to the line from Star Wars where he's like, last time you met, I was a learner. Now I'm a master. You know, mm-hmm. I'm fucking up the line, but you guys know what I mean.
Yeah.
It all lines up. And that's why it's another thing I love about the show, man. The writing in this has been fucking amazing. The directing mm-hmm. in this has been amazing. The cinematography in this has been amazing. I said it a few times on Twitter. And I'm going to say it again here. And the ending, man, the ending, I confused. I thought it was Obi-Wan versus Vader, but it's Reva versus Vader. And it's fucking badass. Like, she's good, but he's the fucking monster. He's the goat of the Sith.
He really
and
is.
The way he fucking tears her apart and then he fucking stabs her. Because he didn't kill her, but the way he fucking beats her is crazy, dude. And Reva's really good in the fight, too, man.
Like, she's great.
Like I said, I love this girl. I love this girl now. I think she's a great little actress.
Mm-hmm.
I hope she does really good stuff. I hope they don't kill her off. I think they might. I hope they don't. Because I actually want to see more of her.
Yeah. Which we will see some more of her because, well, at least in the next episode. Because she, after getting stabbed, she pretty much gets a message, a scrambled message. Something saying, she finds
the communication device that Obi-Wan was using to communicate with Bail Organa, who knows where Luke and Leia are.
Right. But it is a scrambled message, you hear Ben and Tatooine.
And Beru. I mean, Owen Lars. She knows. Yeah. She figures out who it is because she's in the first episode, she confronts and she threatens Owen Lars.
Yep. So at this point, we're kind of like, oh my God, we're actually going to see her try to go and pretty much bait Luke for Vader.
Yo, that fight scene with her and Vader is really good.
Yeah. So I'm excited.
She is crazy good, dude. Like, Vader's fighting her about lightsaber. He steals hers.
He steals her and then cuts it in half.
Yeah, and gives it to her. Then he throws it and he steals it back from her when they're fighting. Then he stomps her.
Yep.
And then he stabs her. It's such a great fight scene.
Yeah.
And then we go to the flashback of him. She flashes back to what happened at Order 66. That's even more fucked up.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Another thing too about the show, like they did stuff from the prequels way better than I ever thought could be done. Because I think, like I said, I like episode 3 because it's the best one. But like the stuff that we see here, like the Order 66 stuff that we see in Obi-Wan is like chef's kiss. It's so good. Like it's really so fucked up and disturbing. Like it's really, really good. Like it's really well done. The other thing that I liked about this too is the swerve with the Grand Inquisitor. The Grand Inquisitor wasn't the main bad guy, and that's what we thought it was going to be. Just like you know, we thought it was going to be about Luke. So I thought this was cool. Like, he's only in it for like a couple, like half, like what, two episodes? Two and a half.
Yep.
Because he's fucking awesome in Rebels, and I think I think people who like this should definitely and haven't seen Rebels should definitely check out Rebels.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, it was really cool. It was really cool that the swerve was that the Grand Inquisitor didn't die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't even like explain why or how he just shows up.
But you got to think about it. Like, you know, he didn't get stabbed. He got stabbed before and didn't die. People that usually get stabbed with a lightsaber don't necessarily die.
Well, yeah, that was the other thing about the lightsaber. A lot of people kind of don't know. The lightsaber cauterizes the wound. Like, the lightsaber is, like, so hot that when it touches you, it cauterizes stuff. So when it gets pulled out, it's not like a normal stab wound. Like, the stuff that's in there is kind of, like, melted together.
Uh-huh.
So theoretically, there are ways to survive it. And people, I mean, fucking Darth Maul survived getting cut in half.
Right,
exactly. And it's also Star Wars. They can make anything that they can. Like, they have back the tanks and they have cybernetics. Yeah. Like we saw in Boba Fett, this chick should have died, and he saved her with cybernetics. And Boba Fett got cybernetics too.
Yeah, yeah. And Darth Maul, he became a spider.
Yeah, duh. He's spider, and like regular spider guy because he gets like normal legs.
He's like Spider-Man.
Like the ones he saw in Solo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are your predictions for the way the show's gonna end?
My predictions. What I'm thinking is Reva's gonna try to bait Vader with Luke, even though he doesn't know that Luke is alive. He doesn't know about Luke. Other than the fact that they disappeared. He doesn't know that he's Luke and that she's Leia. So he doesn't know he has kids. He's pretty much going to hit it like a soft spot. And he's going to get pissed off. He's like, why did you know this and I didn't know this? And essentially creating another huge battle, which, of course, Reva's going to wind up losing. But at that point, that's when, Luke tries to save her at the same time. And save Luke, because of course Luke doesn't
know what's going on. We're fucking both exhausted. I think. All right. The obvious one is Reva's gonna either die or turn like full good,
right?
Because Vader doesn't find out about Leia or Luke until Star Wars.
Because
they explain in the comic books, which are now canon. But yeah, he doesn't learn about Luke until Luke destroys the Death Star.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't find out about Leia until Return of the Jedi.
Right.
So either Reva gets killed or she keeps the secret and she helps them protect Luke and Leia from the behind the scenes until she gets killed off.
Right.
Obi-Wan ends up back on Tatooine.
Pretty much watching over Luke.
Yeah, but like, how are they going to get to it? I mean, I think my biggest thing is like, what's going to happen to Reva?
Yeah.
Like, now I don't want her to die, but it looks like she probably will.
Yeah, she will.
We'll see what happens with the rest of them.
But also, what I'm thinking of potential is that we actually do get to see the Force ghost of Qui-Gon.
Yeah. That's been the big rumor. That he's been cast as the he's back. He's supposed to come back because the voice stuff that we hear in the first,
it's all new stuff.
Second episode, yeah, it's all new stuff.
Yeah,
so we'll see. I mean, I know he came back for Rebels,
right?
He's in one of the Rebels episodes, so we'll see. And yeah, it's kind of funny because we were talking before we recorded about predictions, but I'm like, the only one I can come up with is Reva, like, because we know what happens after the rest of this. Like, Vader can't find out about Luke and Leia, so
we know
Obi-Wan's gonna win. We just don't know how.
Yeah, it's just gonna be interesting. It's still gonna be fun to see how it goes.
Yeah, man, I can't wait. It should be popping when I'm at work, and it should be slow when it comes out, so I should be able to watch it. Last week I was able to watch it at work, so
nice. Yeah, I was able to watch it here.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're gonna be watching anything, what was the other thing? Oh, The Old Man. If you guys are listening to this and you need something to watch other than Star Wars, check out The Old Man on Hulu. It's an FX show, but it's on Hulu. It's really good.
Yeah, we're talking about that. Yeah, that's with the dude. Yeah, it looks pretty cool. I want to check it out.
It's Jeff Bridges and John Lithgow.
Mm. Oh yeah, I love John Lithgow. I can dig it. Yeah. So I guess that pretty much wraps it up. So, do you have anything else to add?
No, I love the show. I thought it was really well done.
Absolutely. It's fucking great. So, thank you guys for listening. Go check out everything on industrygeeks.net. Of course, the regular show. We also got another show, which is our wrestling show. So, go check that out. And all the other stuff that's over there. Go check all that shit out. So, thank you guys for listening. We appreciate you guys. Don't be a dick. But always remember, the geeks shall inherit the earth.